Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner. Rick, I reckon bad news. I just feel that
we might have
seen the last of the Port Maggies, Rick.
Look,
149 years. I mean, this was our 150th.
Correct.
But, obviously not fielding a side this year, neither the Crows in the SANFL.
Right.
Which is, that's all fine with the virus, you know, because they're going interstate, the players, and coming back. But I got an email from Keith Thomas last, as we do, all the members.
I thought it was a personal one.
No, it wasn't personal. Oh. It was to Phil, but...
Dill, Phil and friends.
Yeah. But he said they've got a 15-year contract, but, I mean, that's not worth the paper it's written on, really.
No.
Let's face it. And now, with the squads being cut back from 40 to 35 next year... that only leaves us about 9 or 10 players left over, which means we're going to need top-ups. And as we were discussing before, Rick, and Port Maggies lost all their zones when the AFL side took them over. So we can't recruit from zones. I just don't know where we're going to get the players, Rick.
Well,
sure, you're going to have your 18-year-olds or a few 18-year-olds, but they can't come from different zones unless we buy them. Because they're in zones. So, I just don't know, Rick.
Well, I mean, you've raised a very interesting issue. I mean, it would be very, very sad to see Port Adelaide Magpies. I think they were an initial member of the SANFL, if it was called that, back when it was originated. And it would be very sad to see it go. I guess the only thing we can say is that there is a wait and see zone, because I don't think we know anything. I mean, it's obvious that the AFL, to try and retrieve money in the overall, let alone the short term, are going to reduce number of coaching staff and playing members. That is inevitable. Now, whether that is a long-term project or a short-term solution, who knows? I'm not sure that the AFL knows.
No, I agree.
It's all to do with money, the speculation about even television contracts, because they're up for grabs again now, because the television are arguing that, A, there's not as many games, even if we get a season started, but they're also arguing even to the point of that they're going to be shorter terms.
Quarters,
which therefore means there's less advertising there's an advert after each goal's kicked, and you can only but assume if the quarters are shorter, there's going to be less goals kicked, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And it all flows on. So, I think Bob Dylan wrote a song called "The Times Are Changing." I reckon he was right in the 1960s, and I think he's right in the 2020s, isn't he?
Well, you know, I saw a good podcast last night, not as good as ours, but a good one, Daniel Menzel.
Been learning from us?
He answered a few good questions. I watched it for about an hour, and they're playing for nothing this year, the SANFL players, and he's one of them that's playing for nothing. It's a big hit.
What about your comrades, the umpires, Phil?
I don't know. I'd love to try and touch base with some of those SANFL umpires to see where they are.
So does that mean that the coaches are getting nothing as well? Or
I don't know, because Paul Thomas from the Crows, he got sacked from the Crows. He didn't get sacked. He got, how was it last week? How'd they put their coaches? He got put aside anyhow.
Yep.
And he's back at Central's, I see, as an assistant coach. Well, have they got them? I don't think they've got the money to pay anybody, have they? So
it's my love blowing job. I mean, well, you'd love to play on words. You'd love to think that there are a number of people around who are going to do it because they love the game, they love the involvement. Mm. But it seems to me that we've got ourselves into such a materialistic world that it's almost hard to believe that these people will do it for nothing.
Well, I want to see the Barossa Leagues. If that starts up, Rick, how many drive from Adelaide to the beautiful Barossa Valley to play footy every Saturday and nights a week?
But I thought they did that just to get in the views.
No.
Did they get paid as well?
It's probably $1,000.
No.
Well, yeah, marquee player gets $1,000.
You know, yes. Don't be silly.
Yes, Rick, you know I that. Just, you got your tongue thought, in your cheek there, Rick.
I just thought they'd like going past the Whistling Wall.
And seeing the vines out, the beautiful vines. Well, although wintertime they're not, they're all pruned. Yeah, so.
But it's a lovely autumny sort of colouring at the moment, I would have thought.
Give their car a run out of the city living.
I don't believe. They get paid,
yes,
Phil.
They get paid. Very well, indeed.
Is that right?
It mightn't be any more.
Now, what about your blokes, the umpires? They're not going to really do it for love.
The Bross and Light boys?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I honestly haven't touched base with them either, but I'd love to know the SNFL boys. I mean, I wouldn't umpire. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't umpire a game for nothing. I can get abused anywhere along the streets of Gawler here any day of the week for nothing.
I've heard you quite often do.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I don't even have to leave home.
Well, gee whiz, that's interesting.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, we don't know, do we?
Well, but, I can honestly say that I hope you're wrong about the Port Magpies.
So do I.
That would be very, very sad indeed. But, I mean, I guess putting it in a nutshell, there wouldn't be a Sandful side who are financially independent under any circumstances.
No.
And so they're dependent upon grants, etc. I mean, sure, there's some revenue from gates and beer and canteens, but they're getting a handout from Sandful, who get a handout from the AFL.
Yep.
And the AFL are dependent upon basically the revenue from television. Now, if all those things are reduced, then at the bottom end, they're reduced even more, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And as I was saying, it's just going to be hard for the Maggies to get back, to get the numbers of the players up, because as I said earlier on, losing the zones, no under-18s comp. They've got no side in the under-18s, neither the Crows. So you've got nothing coming up, you know. They reckon it's a big enough advantage having the AFL-based players in that side, training four or five nights or whatever a week. They reckon that's a big enough advantage. But if you're dropping the squads back, you've only got about nine left. So anyway.
Now Phil, you've shocked me over the BLNG. Yep. I was convinced they drove from Adelaide for the view.
For nothing.
Don't tell me that's not the reason the Crows are in the Barossa Valley at the Nova. They're just taking in the views as well, aren't they?
Oh, they are. And they're training individually too, aren't they?
Is that right?
But those two guys playing golf the other day almost got knocked over by the pack of them, didn't they?
Well, it's
any truth in that rumour, Rick?
Well, it's interesting you've raised this issue, because the best I can suggest is that a couple of the comments that I'll make are alleged to have been made, right?
Yep.
Now, I've actually run into three members of the Tanunda Pines Golf Club since the weekend, actually. Three individuals at different times, not together. And two of them have actually suggested that they nearly hit some of the Crows players as they were training, not only on the 18th fairway, which is adjacent to the Novotel, but one of them reckons he nearly knocked one over on the second, which is on the very far side of the golf course.
By the old clubhouse, basically.
Well, basically.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it really makes you wonder what they were doing. I mean, apart from anything else.
But they got such a heavy penalty, though, too, didn't they? Oh, no, they didn't. They got nothing. They've actually got out of that scot-free, didn't they?
Well, I think, really, from the point of view, I made mention, I think, on the show last week, that the AFL, even before this broke, the AFL were running very much in danger of getting the general public offside over their claims that almost they're bigger than everyone else, that they wanted this exemption, that exemption. Obviously, they're desperate to have a competition to try and get some money. But Phil, they're no more important than anyone else, are they?
I think my wife hits the nail on the head. She says, these footballers are untouchable. They're virtually untouchable.
Well, I can't, think... Yeah.
And she hates footy.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But, she hates it. But
I think it was an insult to the general public.
Oh, absolutely.
And to the government and medical profession that they even contemplated the concept of breaking the rules that were in place. Namely, you know, fly in, fly out. How many different versions have we had? Fly in, fly out, hubs, anything you like. And I thought, thank heavens, only I've got nothing against the AFL as such, or football, which I obviously love. But I'm actually very pleased, as I might say everybody on Talkback Radio was this morning that I listened to, that the government here has not bowed to their wishes and will not open the borders, which means that there'll be no Crows or Port playing home games.
Yep.
Because obviously, if they go interstate and play Sydney in Sydney and come home, they've got to go into 2 weeks quarantine.
Yep.
So it seems...
So they won't come home then. So well, they are doing the hub.
They're going to be doing their own hub. And, of course, I think the Western Australians have already said, well, they're going to have their hub in Queensland.
Oh, and why wouldn't you this time of the year? You wouldn't have it in Canberra.
That's right. But so, and you know, why on earth can't everyone just bite the bullet and say, right, no season, let's prepare for next year?
Yeah. I mean, we're only going to get part of a season anyhow. It's got to kick off by July the 11th, otherwise it's got to be rescheduled and cut back again. I mean, then it's might as well not have a cop.
Yeah. And getting back to the sort of ascetic views that these Crows in isolation chose to be in, what I'm interested in is that... if they weren't meant to be outside their room, let alone not outside the boundaries of the Novotel Resort, and were actually wandering around the Tanunda Pines Golf Course...
Which is a separate...
Well, is a private
thing,
golf club. Well, hang on. Yeah. Isn't that called trespassing? I mean, now, the only reason...
They probably paid the Tanunda Pines something. They'd have hired it, did they?
Do
you reckon?
I would not be in a position to make a comment on that, Phil.
Well,
however,
I'm just thinking that could have been,
well,
you know?
It seems to me that from the point of view of containing this virus and all safety precautions, if in fact the powers that be at the golf course didn't permit them to be there, then by failing to report them, they're not covering themselves for...
They might have paid a green fee, though, as they ran past, you know, dropped their green fees, and then ran 18 holes.
They could have, I suppose.
Without sticks and balls. I know some of those Crows players haven't got balls.
Actually, it's
golf balls.
It's funny you should mention that. We didn't have this.
Some big names there, weren't there, Rick?
Oh, huge. I mean,
Himmelberg and, you know, there's one on you. Frampton. It's two on
Doody,
you.
Duday.
Oh, Duday, yeah.
I think out of
the
eight,
three.
How many were there? 17 or 18 or something. I reckon there were three that we'd heard of before. But I just think it's rather fascinating that the Crows' official statement is, we had cross-communication with each other and we've just made a mistake. But if you, for those of our listeners who don't know, you've actually got to walk across a roadway before you get to the Tanunda Pines Golf Course. Now, you know, maybe they just got lost in the garden and thought that the road wasn't a road or something.
But what was Ben Hart doing there if they weren't going to train in that?
Well...
He wouldn't have had to would he?
Well, I think... Hey? Well, they're trying to say he was in self-isolation.
But he was.
Well, it's interesting.
Where's
Ben
he been?
Hart, well, I don't know. But, see, the interesting thing is that obviously there's a difference of opinion between the AFL and the Crows, because the AFL, the only bloke who's copped anything is Ben Hart.
Yeah, I know.
And they reckon that he was...
suspended sentences.
And they reckon he was there purely on self-isolation and wasn't in charge of the group.
So he's got 6 weeks for doing nothing.
Yeah. But going back to the alleged you know, occurrences of the Crows players on the golf course. But one of my acquaintances suggested that while he was trying to play the second, there were Crows players putting out cones down the fairway.
Now, they must have hired the... No, they've hired the... Well, so these guys shouldn't have been out playing golf.
Well, well, it's a little bit...
Oh, I don't know, Rick. I think it's...
The only thing I can say after having spoken to these three guys and listening to the Crows explanation is that it doesn't all seem to tie together in a neat bundle, does it?
I mean, they were talking $100,000 fine, and then the government were going to give them a fine, and they pulled out, and I mean, and they got nothing.
And I think to make it quite clear to our listeners and fairness, anything that we've said is an alleged comment. The only other thing I'd say in relation to that before we change the topic is that I did attempt to make contact with the manager of the Tanunda Pines Golf Course, even wrote to him with a number of questions to which I've received no reply. So I did offer an opportunity for him to comment on the situation, but it seems to me that...
he couldn't have got your email. That's probably what it was.
Well, that might have been true. Yeah. But it seems to me that there seems to be a great deal of... the jigsaw not fitting together over this. But I've got a feeling that the AFL, a bit like the ostrich, really just wanted it to go away. And so they've offered everyone the... I mean, fancy putting all the 15 of the 18 or whatever it is on a one-match suspended. Those 15 have got as much chance of playing an AFL game as you and me.
I think you're right. Look, we're running out of time, Rick, but we've got to have a joke. We're on the golf theme.
Well, shall we stick with the golf?
Let's stick with it.
Just picture this, Phil. Location, the Royal Canberra Golf Club.
Yep, got it? Beautiful.
Beautiful golf course. Former Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, on the first tee. Got it? Sir, I understand you must probably be a new member here, but even you should know that you cannot take your first shot 3 metres ahead of the marker. PM, ignore the comment and continue to address the ball. Listen, sir, I'm the chairman of the Greens. I must remind you to go back behind the white markers. Otherwise, I'll have to report you to the board. Eventually, Bob looked up and replied, let me tell you three things, mate. In the first place, you're annoying the shitter out of me. In the second place, I've been a member of this club for nearly 12 months now. In the third place, this is my second bloody shot. Now shut up and let me continue the game.
Sounds like my golf. I usually had 3 shots by then, though. Look, we're way over time today, Rick.
Can't you imagine Bob Hawke saying that?
Oh, yeah. He wasn't real good at cricket either.
Ah, dear. All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed it, folks. Until next week, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.